Welcome to Manage Your Tools. This week, first meeting, new direct series, Family First, part two. The questions this cast answers are, how can I speed up my new direct's onboarding? What should I tell my directs when they start? What are the most important messages to share with a new direct?
Hey folks, it's Mark. It's the middle of January, probably when you're listening to this. I hope you had wonderful holidays. Happy New Year to you. And I thought I'd give you a rundown of what we're doing in February of this year. We have a virtual effective manager conference starting on February 1st. It'll be four sessions, the 1st, the 2nd, the 8th, and the 9th. That same day, February 1st, we have a Silicon Valley effective manager conference. And then on the 2nd, we have an effective communicator conference. Places are starting to open up and we're able to do more public conference events. We have a virtual EMC starting on the 7th of February as well. And we're in Boston the week of the 7th on the 8th and 9th with an EMC and an ECC. And we have an Ottawa, Canada EMC on the 22nd and 23rd of February. And it gets into March, but we're going to be in Phoenix on March 1st and 2nd for an EMC and ECC. If those are locations you can get to and you're looking to grow your skills, I encourage you to come to the website and sign up. Hope this helps.
I don't know that anyone says this to young professionals. Hey, there's always going to be too much work. Here's why, right? Flip that over and think about why there should be more work. And then here's how to deal with it. I don't think anyone articulates this.
We should come up with a list of casts, the things we're saying that nobody else is saying.
Yeah.
And this is known stuff. It's old news.
Yeah. And it's just that it hasn't been articulated to people. And so they have to learn it. Took me years. No one ever said anything like, oh, yeah, there's always going to be too much work. So you should get over it.
Yeah.
No one ever said that until, a couple years in. And more so, you had to figure it out on your own. And it is really stressful because you're not sure. Because it's very clear that there's the dream of not too much work, just the right amount of work. It's very clear that it's kind of talked around. There's these themes around it. Oh, there's too much So you know that there's that dream. And you wonder, I think, if you're a young professional, I think some people wonder if it's just the season of too much work. And so there will be another season. And in fact, if you're listening, that's not how it is.
That's never going to happen. I also think something else happens. When somebody is new to a team, early in their career, not later in their career, when they step into an existing job that hasn't been being done and their calendar gets filled up in a week, in the beginning of their career, they don't have a lot to do. They've not been given all the stuff they're going to have to do. And they can actually, in the first 1 to 2 to 3 weeks, get all of their work done every day.
Sure.
And the work then gets piled up, though. And then they realize, I can't do it. I can't get it all done. And I feel guilty about not getting it all done because when I started here, I was getting it all done.
If we communicate this to our directs, our new directs,
right,
there's a chance they will be better, faster, and they won't feel as much of that stress. And so the lowered stress level will then also allow them to do better. And it doesn't matter what your boss did with you or does with you. You're not responsible for your boss. We are responsible, though, for our people.
Right.
It's easy enough. We do this a lot to apply the horseman middleman rule here, horseman middleman test. What do we want from our boss? An acknowledgement of this dilemma.
Exactly.
And therefore, we should not deny it to our directs. And it's completely within our power to address it.
Yeah.
It's a conversation. I know
the reason I wrote this into this cast is because people say to me, well, my boss doesn't do that to me. So you love your boss? Is he or she the greatest boss ever? No. So you want to be that guy or that gal to your directs? No. Well, don't think that the only way to be in the world is to be your boss. Mm-hmm. You don't even like him that much.
Yeah, the best professional way out of this is to talk about the friction between these two imperatives, too much work and families coming first. And the best way Manager Tools has found to do that is to encourage directs to work hard during the workday with focus and intensity and speed, doing our best to make good choices about competing priorities, and then go home at a reasonable hour to spend time being fully with your family. It's much easier to do that if you've done your best at work, regardless of the outcomes. If you've worked hard and fast all day, it's easier to go home and spend quality time with your families. The solution is work hard, work fast, do your best, and honor your family commitments. Will all the work get done? No.
No.
It never will. It never will.
I mean, I ask people this all the time when I was traveling and presenting. Who here got all their work done every day for the last week? No one raised their hand. Everyone laughed.
Yeah.
I'm like, so we all know there's too much work.
Right.
Unless we're all decided that, no, there's not too much work. We're all just weak and ineffective and inefficient, and we should go home and be miserable all day. And our family should be the one that recharges us so that we can go back to work. That's actually not how the world was meant to be. If you want to suck the life out of a family unit, think that your family is there to recharge you so you can go back into the lion's den. That's just crazy. I also want to mention one other thing, Kate. You mentioned speed. It's actually a huge, huge advantage. It's probably the single biggest pushback I get when I've given this talk before and I say, come to work, be focused and be intense and work fast. And like, well, you know, I'm not a fast worker. Said, well, okay, just to be clear, you're going to struggle more than others around here because there's too much work to be done. You're here because I trust you. You're going to be wrong some of the times. I don't want you to be wrong on the big stuff, but you're going to be wrong some of the times, and it'd be better to fail early. And frankly, I think there are books about failing often, but if you're going to be wrong, the idea that you slowing down and meaning that now there's no way you can be anywhere near a good amount of work done at the end of the day, you know, oh, that's fine, right? It's because that's the way I work. Well, unfortunately, the work is more important than us.
Yeah.
And we have to figure out a way to get it done. And you're going to discover that those people who work fast are going to be rewarded. Now, I'm not saying sloppy. I want you to do your best to produce high-quality work, but there are too many people who say, no, this is the speed at which I work. Mm. Well, the world's been getting faster for a long darn time. So
yeah.
Good luck with staying at that speed.
If we go back to the idea that all the work will never get done, that there will always be work, the way we deal with that is to remember that priorities are the things that help us decide what to work on.
Priorities are the things that never come up in these conversations.
Which is weird, right?
Right. I have too much work. So immediately, you just do this thought experiment. You go, well, how am I going to decide? Well, clearly, I have to have some priorities. And as I like to tell people, and clearly, I've said this 1,000 times, and I've not gotten a rise out of any crowd. So I've chosen the wrong analogy or the wrong wedge to talk about this. I say, look, you've got some priorities. Decide what you're willing to get in trouble for. Mm-hmm. And I can tell they don't get the argument because it's very clear. They don't want to get in trouble for anything. Mm-hmm. But yet every day they go to work, they get 80 of their 90 things done, and they know that 10 things were supposed to get done and they didn't get done. Do they just want to feel guilty about it? And they're not willing to admit that they made priorities and that they're essentially saying by not doing that, I'm willing to get in trouble for that because I think these other 80 things were better. I don't understand that logic at all. Like how? I don't know. Somebody should write me an email.
I think they haven't come to grips fully with the idea that A, some things aren't going to get done, and B, you have to make a choice about what things aren't going to get done. And they let other people drive those choices by who's sure. yelling the okay. loudest or things like they let external forces. They don't have a good grasp, I don't think, on what it is that is most important.
Yeah.
And some of that is their manager not communicating. I used to, less so now because I keep it in my calendar, but at the end of the day, every day, before I left my desk, I used to write out my calendar for the next day in my notebook just so I had it ready, partially because of calendar settings. I didn't want to put like the work I was doing, you know, like an hour and a half working on Project X. Wasn't going to put that in the calendar. So I'd write it all out. And then on the side next to it, I would put the three things that had to get done that day.
Yeah.
As actions with little boxes, empty boxes ready to be X'd out, right?
Yeah.
And so those things came first, very first thing in the morning. I knew what those things were. I don't know. I've shared this in casts and in trainings with people. I don't hear anybody else saying, that makes sense to me. That's how I did it as well. And I don't know that it's the mechanism through which you do this that's important. It's the decisions.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the calendar. The calendar has some spots where things could get done, where I'm not in a meeting or, you know, working with somebody else. In that case, what are the things that are going to get done during those time frames? And what are the things that have to get done first? And I think, and it made it really easy. Like, someone comes into my office. No, I'm sorry. This is going to have to wait till the afternoon, or can I wait till tomorrow? And it can go on tomorrow's list, unless there's a fire, which you have to also, though, be able to determine what is and is not a fire. And some of that, I think people let deadlines drive them more than priorities. And we lose sight, especially younger in our careers, of what, of which deadlines are true and which deadlines are perhaps not valid.
I've been waiting for 17 years after saying 17 years ago that you've got to have priorities and deadlines drive behavior for somebody to ask me, what about when priorities and deadlines conflict?
I'm like,
oh, now this is a $64,000 question. I want to mention something too. You said some things are not going to get done, right? Just like some of your chores are not done at home. In your most important sphere of your life, family, not everything is getting done. Why then would we think that we could get everything done at the second or third or fourth most important sphere of your life?
Yeah.
Right? And so you bring up priorities. It's every professional's job to do our best to choose, to make choices wisely about what our priorities are and to get the most important things done.
It's like the laundry, right? Sometimes there is laundry to be done, but it doesn't need to be done.
Right.
And then someday it does need. Then there's a day where there's a thing that you have to have and it's in the laundry. Then suddenly the laundry gets done.
Well, I tell you something else. I got ridicule for this. I'm a pretty logical guy, but I'm also try to be pretty flexible. And I said, well, you kind of got to have it, separate from whether you wash whites with blacks or reds or whatever. You got to have separate laundry for underwear versus wearable clothes. And somebody asked me why. I said, because you're always going to have laundry to do.
Yeah.
But the one thing you can't go without is underwear.
Right.
Everybody I know, everyone I've ever met, always, there are a few exceptions, but they're very unusual people and they're probably not in our audience. We have choices when we go into our closet about the blue or the black or the red or the green or the tan or the brown or whatever, or the puce or the mauve or the cerulean or whatever. Right?
Yeah.
But it's a different story if you don't have any underwear.
Yeah.
And so in my mind, the question I always had was, I always kept my laundry in a place where I could also see my clean clothes. And I would see the laundry and I would look to see the clean clothes. And I say, do I need to do underwear?
Yeah.
And sometimes if I was washing underwear, I would wash the rest of the clothes too.
Yeah.
But no, I don't need to do laundry until I need underwear.
Yeah.
And then, by the way, I figured after doing that for a few years, I figured out the key is have a lot of underwear.
Yes.
And then suddenly that chore doesn't have to be done.
Yes. 2 weeks minimum.
Yeah. You come to that sooner or later. So if you're 21 or 22, we just told you our entire life's wisdom there.
Yeah.
5 minute soliloquy.
This math works really well until you have a kid.
Yeah.
You do the laundry every day.
Yeah.
And you just get over it.
Well, yeah, but you do some smart things like you tell your kids on pain of death, you put your dirty laundry in the laundry room.
Yeah.
Right? And then the other thing is when they're old enough to understand pushing buttons, they start doing their own laundry.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just thinking of babies, like onesies that stuff. That's a laundry machine in reverse.
Yes, it is. Folks, do remember that all the podcasts will always be free. And the reason for that is our interest is in focusing on individual managers so that you can have a highly effective and ethical and successful career. And we think probably the best product we have to help you do that, regardless of the size of the organization you're in, is our license. For $200 a year, you get access not only to a year's worth of show notes for manager tools, career tools, and executive tools, you get the entire historical archive of 17 years available to you for that full year. And I mentioned executive tools. Only licensees get access to executive tools. I had a conversation recently with a manager who was teaching one of his directs, an individual contributor, about the delegation model. And his direct said, well, I really can't use that. And his manager said, sure you can. The next time someone delegates to you and they don't use this model, you know the kinds of questions you should ask. Same thing for you managers when it comes to executive tools. If you don't know what executives are learning, how are you going to know the kind of questions to ask to help you be good at it when you ultimately become an executive? I hope you consider a license. Regardless, I hope you have a wonderful 2022. Hey, look, we got one more thing to do. That's here's how it might sound. Mm-hmm. So, folks, we do this periodically. I mentioned at the top of the show. I've taken all the guidance we want to share and put it into a little speech. If you're a licensee, the great thing about this, of course, is you can look at the show notes and click and drag and paste it into a Word document and change the things you don't like that sound too much like me and make it sound more like you. But, you know, there's a great book about website design by a guy who also wrote a book about rocket surgery, believe it or not, about website design. And the book is Don't Make Me Think. So the purpose of this last section, here's how it might sound, is you don't have to think. In fact, if you wanted, if you're not driving, you could probably write 10 words or 15 words down from what you're about to hear and use that as the skeleton of the talk you'll give your directs. So here's how it would sound. You know, so again, my direct is in my office or we're on Zoom or whatever. I say, hey, Kate, we've had a series of these meetings this last few weeks. I hope they've been helpful to you. Their purpose is twofold, to help you learn about us, to assimilate to our culture. Learning what's important and what's not, and to make you highly effective as soon as we possibly can, because that's really what onboarding is about, is to get all our money's worth out of you. Frankly, Kate, most people think of onboarding as administrative stuff to do, but I actually see it, and all of Manager Tools sees it as an extension of the hiring process, helping you get fully up to speed. I know what it's like to be new in the Army and in new units and Procter & Gamble, so on. And not feel like you're contributing in those first few weeks. And onboarding is one of the ways we do to shorten that as much as possible. This last meeting, obviously, folks, you could have more if you wished. This last meeting's purpose is to remind you to put your family first. All of our discussions thus far have been about work. And I know you have a life outside of work. And you need to be able to be great at work. And to be able to look back at the end of a great career and say you put your family first during that great career. And I encourage you to ignore the slings and arrows that will come at you, whispering to you that greatness and success are just a finger's reach away from you if you'll spend more time away from your family. Trust me, it's not so. I expect you, I want you to be clear about this, purposes meaning is I expect you to put your family first. There's nothing we're doing here that justifies you looking back in a few years and thinking you had to put your family second after work. We're not curing cancer. Folks, if you're curing cancer, you can't say that. You'll note I said looking back over a year or more. Family first, just to be clear, doesn't mean you get to leave work at 5 o'clock every day, no matter what, okay? There will be days when we all work a little longer. There'll be pressures at various times that call on any of us or all of us to stay late or perhaps do something during an evening or over the weekend even. You're a salaried employee, and it's not just a case of putting in your hours. I don't expect to count your hours. I don't ever want to hear you brag about how many hours you put in. I want you focused on getting the work done. The work is the metric here. Not hours. If you want an hourly job, there are those. They pay less, though, just so you know. And by the way, in addition to the fact everyone always knows that the boss will say, you can't always leave at 5 o'clock, but there are plenty of days where you will, and I want you to. And while there are days when we'll have to work later sometimes, I'll try to let you know. But there'll also be days that you'll want to leave earlier, and I want to hear about that. Hey, can I leave to go coach my daughter's soccer team? Of course you can. Now, again, the metric is not ours, it's work. So get your work done. Figure out who to ask on the team or who to share your work with, or who to pick up a meeting for you, whatever it might take. And then, by the way, expect to be asked the same thing in return. The focus is on the work, not on the time. And the way to get your work done and get home to your family is to work hard every day. Don't do what so many people do and put off your work until late in the day when others start to go home so you can be free to focus. By then, you'll be mentally tired and you won't be able to focus. And then if it's late enough, you're going to start feeling guilty about not getting home. And since this waited until the end of the day, you could probably wait till first thing tomorrow morning and you'll come in thinking you're going to get to it. But then there'll be a little bunch of little fires you have to put out, and suddenly it's another day and you haven't gotten to it. So start fast when you come to work and stay fast throughout your day. Make decisions quickly. Communicate about your decisions and communicate about your work status to everybody else on the team. Yes, you're going to have more work than you can do every single day. That's normal. You have to learn how to prioritize your work and get the most important work done every day. If you don't know what's most important, ask, because I promise you, I want you to learn both setting priorities and choosing the right ones as fast as you possibly can, because if we all get that right, we're smart enough, good enough, hard enough workers, we will get the right work done and we will win. I want to help you get the most important work done, and I want you to get home at night. And by the way, when you absolutely need 2 or 3 days because there's been a death in the family, because there's been a birth in the family, because something's going on, my door is always open and I'm going to be the first person to try to help you do what you need to do to take care of your family. And full disclosure, that's because I'm a caring human being and I want you to be okay. Because when you look back on your career, I can look back on mine now, the number of things that I thought were more important than family at various times, like, geez, it was so silly. So silly. There was nothing that was that critical. There were bosses who would yell. There were bosses who would fire me. But that's different than something actually being important. So if you need time, come see me. We can work something out. So again, if you're struggling to get the work done and put your family first, I encourage you to work harder and work faster and make more decisions and come talk to me and I'll help. Family matters around here because it matters to you and you're part of us. And we intend to get the work done and to live lives we can be proud of. Thanks for being part of the team.
Family first matters. It's important enough to communicate it early to your new hires.
Oh, that's a good summary. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Mark.
Do I understand correctly that this is going to go out after the first of the year?
Yeah.
So this is the first podcast? Since it'll be like the first Monday, it'll be the first Manager Tools podcast of the year 2022.
Yes, it will.
So folks, if you're still listening, Happy New Year. We've been doing this now for, is it 17 and a half or 16 and a half?
16 and a half.
We've been doing this for 16 and a half years. We love you. We care about what's happening to you. Write to us every once in a while at customerservice@manager-tools.com. If you're a licensee, you can write to me. And we want to hear how you're doing and how we can help. I would tell you, see you next week, but I don't get to be a guest on the show as often as I used to. Thanks, Kate.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, y'all. We'll be back next week with a new topic. Bye, everyone.